Hello and welcome to the journalism.co.uk podcast with me, Maddalena Ciobanu. This week we'll be looking at digital skills for journalists in 2016 and how to develop them. Our last podcast before the new year provided an overview of the trends that shaped the media industry in 2015. But what skills should journalists develop to avoid falling behind, and what are the training resources available to them? Damian Radcliffe, Carolyn S. Chambers Professor in Journalism at University of Oregon, said that news events in 2015 have further emphasized the need for verification skills in the newsroom, and more journalism courses should teach students how to use social media as more than just a broadcasting tool.
I think it's a really incredibly exciting time to be a journalist and to be involved in the business of journalism. Over the past year, we've seen the growth of social and emergence of new social platforms like Snapchat Discover and Snapchat Stories, some really interesting experimentation with virtual reality through the New York Times and others. And then with both of the two attacks in Paris, really has helped to sort of reinforce the importance of social media as a platform for discovering news as well as disseminating it, and really emphasize the importance for journalists to have strong verification skills in the social space. And I think that's an area where newsrooms are constantly grappling with understanding the latest platforms and the latest challenges around verification. And also it's an area where J-School students in the US, the UK and all around the world could be really one step ahead of their competitors when they're applying for jobs, if they have strong skills in social, in terms of being understand how to find and access stories, how to interact with communities, and how to verify the information and sources that they are accessing and interacting with, rather than just simply using it as a broadcast tool. I think for students it's twofold. I mean, firstly, I'd love to see it involved in every J-School curriculum, that it includes how to use social, how to write for social, how to use it to access stories, and how to verify information in fast-moving, rapid changing situations. And one of the best ways that students can put that to use is, first of all, by doing classroom exercises, we introduce them to these concepts, but then also working with student media and then also their local media to get that experience of actually putting these skills into practice. Repetition is the best way to really be able to learn these skills and to hone them so that your craft skills just become second nature.
Having a specialist skill like coding or an ability to visualize data is still an advantage. But what will be equally or more important is an awareness of changes in the industry and how they might impact your work. Over the next few months, Radcliffe will focus on teaching his students social media strategies and audio storytelling, as well as the business of media, to give them an insight into the inner workings of different news organizations.
The last area that I'm going to be looking at is doing more on the sort of the business of media and media business models, which is something that I think, again, both established journalists and journalism school students need to know more about, in terms of understanding, well, if I want to go and work for BuzzFeed, Huffington Post, Business Insider, NPR, New York Times, whoever it might be, what is their current strategy and approach? What are some of the challenges that they are facing, and how are they responding to that? And how might that impact on what I would do day to day as a journalist or a content producer? And I think that's an area that that arguably many people need to know more about and understand more of. So I'm looking forward to doing some work to try and raise awareness of that too. And I think there's a huge opportunity there, both for those outlets to reach and engage more with the student population, but also for students to just be more aware of that. And I think one of the most obvious kind of ways is seeing the kind of content that a lot of young people like to consume. So, you know, BuzzFeed, Mike, Vice, these are the kind of channels that a lot of my students really like and access. But trying to get them to think critically about, well, what is it that you really like about those channels? How did they tell stories that really engages you, and how can you take lessons from those and apply that to your own work or other publications? And it's that ability to sort of think on your feet, think critically, and be able to take lessons from other publications and bring it to your own that I think is sometimes lacking, and is a real skill to develop, learn and implement.
However, it's difficult to say what the next big thing in journalism will be. So even more important is to develop a mindset for change and experimentation, says Martin Stabe, head of interactive news at the Financial Times.
I think by its very nature, a team like mine is always looking for the next thing, the thing that hasn't really been done before. And it's very difficult to anticipate what is likely to emerge. We have some pretty good guesses, but almost by its nature, the goalposts are always shifting on what we do in my team. And so when we're hiring people or when we're telling journalism students what we think they should be looking at, it's really not any particular skill set that we would encourage, but a particular mindset, an acceptance that you will always be learning. And, you know, even in things like our graduate recruitment scheme, which is currently open, we are, you know, we stress questions about whether you're able to self-start as someone who can learn and teach themselves outside the context of formal instruction, because basically that's what you would have to do to be successful in a team like mine. You have to be able to constantly learn new skills to be at the forefront of current practice, whatever that practice may be. And I think the sort of hallmark of digital journalism generally is there aren't an awful lot of people with particular skill sets for the future, essentially, because it's not sort of known what the skill sets that are needed will be. And so being resourceful and being able to figure things out as they come at you is really the key thing that we're looking for. When I look back at things that we did 5 years ago when I first joined the FT, it was all flash. It was all, you know, fairly simple data sets, fairly small things. Then we moved on to building things in a database. Now, increasingly, a lot of our data wrangling is being done in R or through some scripting language rather than in Excel as it used to be. So a lot of the skills that I might have mentioned to you a few years ago are no longer really that important, or they've changed platforms in some way. And so what's really important is the ability to adapt to that and to understand basic principles and find ways of applying computing techniques generally to journalism. That said, I would say if I were hiring someone today, I would definitely be looking for one way of analyzing data, whether that's a statistics package of some sort like Stata or R or even just Excel, and definitely some knowledge of HTML and CSS. Those are kind of the basics, like just a general overview of how the internet works and what the basic building blocks are and some way of wrangling data, because that is the key journalistic task in a team like that.
Some newsrooms have also developed internal training programs for their journalists to help them stay on top of the latest platforms and technologies, but also to give them a better understanding of how the newsroom operates across its different teams. Lisa Pollack, head of new projects at the Financial Times, runs the organization's digital training program. It aims to provide resources and hands-on workshops to people in the newsroom during working hours, but also through three-day-long intensive boot camps, depending on the level of training and the topic.
It starts from sort of spreadsheet basics, because we don't want to assume anything, builds up to sort of numbers in the news, charting, so both evaluating charts and making charts yourself, productivity tools, internal tools that we use, external tools that we've adapted, like Asana for workflow. And the teachers involved, it's about 5 or 6 FT people. And we also bring in external trainers where it's relevant to do kind of one-day workshops that we tack on to the courses.
So what have been some of the most popular options among FT journalists, and which skills have they seemed particularly interested in learning?
The stuff that we do around internet investigations is very popular. The spreadsheet training that we do, I think people really appreciate, because we have a really good set of trainers. One of my favorites that we've run over the last year was the one about the FT's API. What I found wonderful about it is how many people wanted to attend this class, how many journalists wanted to. And so this was something where everyone was on a Chromebook in our editorial conference room, and they clearly wanted to fully understand what the FT's API is. And the pitch to them is, you're going to understand what your story looks like when it ends up in several different places. So when a story gets published on the FT's web app, that story is called via the API. So what we would do in the class is we would have each journalist, they'd pick a story that they worked on, and they would bring that up on FT.com. And then by the end of the class, they'd also brought that up as an API call, so they could actually see the result of the API call and on the web app, and they could evaluate, why do these look different? So why is it looks like this on FT.com, and it looks like this on the web app? And the answer to that is because it came through the API. And if it didn't come through the API, that's why it didn't end up on the web app. So people really want to understand this stuff. And this isn't something that is going to help them with like core reporting. But what it is going to do is it's going to make them far more sympathetic about the work that our developers do. And ultimately, when you develop that sympathy, it'll help us produce something better for our readers. And so a lot of what the training that we do, some of the external training and also the internal training, is just about developing that sympathy to people who are helping you tell your story in order to actually have, you know, a better end product for readers. And so podcast training is another one like this. Do you do podcast training? Do you send people on external courses to learn how to edit podcasts, even if they're probably not going to be editing podcasts every day or even in their day-to-day, but they are going to be working on podcasts. They're going to be working as reporters on podcasts. And if they go through that experience of what it's like to be an editor and what decisions you're going to have to make when editing a podcast, that may mean that they turn in better audio or they're thinking a bit more, how do I structure this in a way that a producer and an editor is going to be able to do something with this that's great for listeners to this podcast? And so I think that that sympathy element is really important to understand what you're asking someone to do. And video is like that as well. You know, we have an expert video team. We're not going to turn all of our journalists into expert, you know, video producers. But if they learn some of those skills, then they can better work with the video team.
NPR also runs a similar digital training program for its employees, and it comes as no surprise that a main focus last year was audio storytelling and podcast editing. Eric Athus, manager of NPR's editorial training team, said the training is done under various formats to encourage both new and existing employees to ask specific questions about particular projects and learn new skills from each other. Most tips and recommendations are then posted on the NPR training website for any members of the public to access.
It works in several different ways. So one way is that we are responsible for the editorial orientation for every new employee and intern and fellow that comes into the newsroom. We really want to make sure that we're not only getting them, giving them the lay of the land and helping them get settled, but also help them understand the way NPR works, give them resources and space to ask questions and learn some new things. In addition to that, we do a lot of group workshops and group training within the NPR newsroom. Someone on our team, Allison McAdam, developed ongoing listening sessions, which is essentially a few people sitting in a room and listening to an audio piece and talking about it and critiquing it. And we also really want to make sure that we're sharing as much information as possible within the newsroom and throughout our system. And the website is a big way in which we do that. Because if someone works on this really great project and it illustrates a lot of the things that we want the newsroom and others to be doing, we want to make sure we explain why it worked and what was so great about it and make sure that information reaches as many people as possible. And one way we do that is with the website. Another is through a monthly event that we hold in the newsroom called How We Did That, which is very self-explanatory. We invite people from the newsroom to come and hear about a single project, a single story or series, whatever it is, and they explain how they did it. And it's a great way not only to highlight some of the great things they did, but to talk about the challenges.
And finally, with a skill set that is constantly required to expand in order to accommodate new technologies, platforms, and audience demands, journalists should also strive to develop aptitudes for managing their workflow.
Another skill that I see becoming important at NPR and beyond is project management. And this is really about the process of creating our stories. Most news organizations have had a very similar process over the years. And usually those processes are serving a particular platform or, you know, whatever you want to call it, a newspaper or a radio. And creating a project management culture really helps you move faster. It helps you be more focused. And those are really two important things in today's world where if you want to create a new podcast, you want to be doing that in a way where you're asking the right questions at the beginning of the process and doing it efficiently and understanding who your audience is and all those things. And that really, that comes with good project management. And that can be done if you're an organization that doesn't have the resources to have an extra project manager for every podcast or project or series you're doing. You can still instill those type of skills into your process. There's lots of resources out there, but it's really important and really important for NPR.
Are there any new skills you aim to learn or become better at in 2016? Let us know on Twitter at Journalism News, and thanks for listening to the journalism.co.uk podcast.